Baskin and Phelps. He is Jeff Phelps. I'm Andy Baskin. We're talking about the Cavs. Cavs struggles. What's going on inside that locker room? Who's actually running the show? And what kind of moves should they make now that Kevin Love has a busted hand? And you know who can answer all those questions for us, Jeff?
Tell me.
Your friend and my friend from AmicoHoops.net. He is Sam Amico. Hi, Sam. How are you?
Hi, guys.
There it is.
How are you?
Oh, we're good. Me? Yes, now we can hear you. Little issues.
Cool. Yeah.
Listen, Sam, let me start with last night's game. And I got to tell you, I watched last night's game, and I beyond the fact that Kevin got hurt, there is zero effort on this team. That third quarter to me was pathetic. I mean, it's run down the floor, take one shot. No one's going in for an offensive rebound. All right, let's run back down the floor. Okay, let's run down. Like, just going through the motions on this thing. You got to help me because I don't feel any energy from this team.
They definitely had no energy, and that's one of the things that stood out. I think we talk about their defense, which has just been horrendous, particularly at crunch time. Even in games they've won, the defense has not been good. And they just don't, and I think the people around the league that you talk to who are just watching them say, they're just looking, despite the energy issues, they don't have the talent and the youth and the exuberance to overcome that kind of thing right now. And I don't think their defense is all effort. I think that they have personnel issues when it comes to, just don't have the guys who can defend. And there's a lot going on. There's, for a team that's, 29-20, which in a lot of cities would be cause for celebration, this is not a team that people were hoping to see when they put this roster together and made the Kyrie Irving trade at the beginning of the year. It had not looked like a championship contending team. It looks like a team that could potentially lose in the first round of the playoffs. And when you have a window and you have a star like LeBron James, I think some of it starts at the top and all the way down. The coach, is he preparing them for games? Is he making the right changes during games? Everything is open to question. I mean, you lost to you got blown out in the fourth quarter by basically a team that's, had lost 8 in a row, was beaten down, and didn't have, Tobias Harris. They didn't have Blake Griffin, who they traded for. I mean, this was a team that was just a mess, that you went into their place and you had beaten them earlier at their place soundly. And now, when you go in there and play like this, something is very askew with the Cavaliers.
So Kevin Love goes out with an injury, the extent of which we'll find out shortly today. I would think sometime today, Sam. And how long will he be out, we'll find out. But with the trading deadline coming up on February 8th, does this change everything, all plans that Kobe Altman might have had? How does he move forward from here?
I think it changes a little bit. It changes your approach because we're hearing reports that and this type of injury generally takes right around 6 to 8 weeks. That means Kevin Love comes back with 2 or 3 weeks left in the regular season, if everything goes well. So yeah, it probably changes your approach because right now you're 4 games ahead of the 8th seed. Forget number one. You've got to stay, in the race here. And I think that now, maybe if you were looking for a wing defender, maybe you're putting more emphasis on the DeAndre Jordan types who may be available. It's maybe more imperative now to get a big guy that can help you. It was already pretty important, but I because they are already thin in the front court. So you're either going to have to play small, which this team just doesn't have the athleticism and the legs to do anymore, or the guys. I mean, you don't know what you're going to get from J.R. Smith every night, and you just can't afford to try to play small because your small guys aren't doing enough. Isaiah Thomas has not been a fit at all so far. That may be one potential. I personally think they should really look into trading him because you don't have enough time to wait for him to come around before the February 8th trade. If this is what he's going to be, he's not a fit. I mean, you know, minus 25 last night. He's costing them games, I think, with the way he's played so far. So, you know, there are so many different layers to this whole situation not being as good as it should be and could be with a star like LeBron. LeBron's efficiency has gone down, just like Kevin Love's had gone down when Isaiah Thomas came in. Now, if you're the coach, do you say, you know what, we're going to bring you off the bench until you get, you know, in tune with things? Or if you're Kobe Altman, do you say, okay, this part of the deal isn't working out, we don't have time to wait around for him to fit in. Maybe you do that and somehow package and get another guard and a big guy. But they've got holes to plug, that's for sure.
Sam, I hear what you're saying. I hear what Jeff's saying, and I also heard what Ken Berger was saying in Bleacher Report. And, you know, what you're saying makes sense, what Jeff's saying makes sense. What does Dan Gilbert want here? What is Dan Gilbert thinking right now? That's my question, because, you know, it comes into play his relationship with Isaiah Thomas a little bit and what the future might be. And what do you think he's thinking?
Look, if there's one thing we know about Dan Gilbert, it's that, and despite that report, which is probably pretty accurate or very accurate, is he's a fan like us. He wants to win, you know. Well, actually, we're supposedly media, but, you know, he wants, just like Cleveland fans, that's how badly he wants to win. He's upset like everybody else. Why isn't this working out? Now, obviously, he also approaches it from a business standpoint, which is, you know, do we put everything all in this year and make the trades and just go all in this year and not worry about next year, not worry about the future? Those are things that, as the fans weigh, he also weighs. So, you know, does he have a bond or relationship with a player in Isaiah Thomas? Maybe. Does that mean that he won't, if there's a trade that's out there that would improve the Cavs that involves Isaiah Thomas? I can almost assure you Dan Gilbert wouldn't say, no, we're not trading the guy because he's my buddy. He can still text him regardless of who he plays for. So I think that's a little overstated. Dan Gilbert isn't going to impact how this team moves forward at the trade deadline. He may be involved in conversations and trade talks, but look, if the basketball people, and he's done this in the past, if the basketball people tell him this is a trade that's going to work, he may not like it, but he'll trust you. And if you don't do it, then he'll fire you.
Right.
I don't think that people need to be worried that Dan Gilbert has a, you know, sending texts or whatever to Isaiah Thomas. That's not going to impact what they decided with the deadline.
Sam, Wayne Embry's words keep ringing in my head here. You can't fall in love with your players. The former GM of the Cavs, that was one of his mottos and mantra that he ran his career by. You can't fall in love with your players. That said, a lot of these guys are fan favorites here, real interesting players. If you're Kobe Altman, how do you proceed? What are you looking to bring to this team? And do you need to make a move? Or is it improvement from within more than anything?
Well, you know, at this point, I don't think you can think it's going to be improvement from within, because there are no signs of that over this past, month, at least a month. There's been no signs that this team is going to get better from within. Particularly, they look old, they look discombobulated. There's no real help on the way. Everybody, other than Kevin Love now coming back later, you know, who you have, Derrick Rose, who's not playing. You have Shumpert healthy, who's not playing. You just put Channing Frye back in the rotation. They're still figuring things out. And I think they need to, and you're right, maybe they don't make a major trade, but I think they need to make some type of trade and then say, you know what, this is our rotation and this is how we're going to approach games. And the guys that we can't play, you know, if you can't find time for Derrick Rose or Shumpert, which probably Shumpert's not going to be an easy guy to trade. They've been trying to do it since June or July. You've got to make a move and say, these are our nine guys. We're going to use them this way. They have to know their roles. And then if they don't produce, then we're going to take them out. You're not going to be able to move J.R. Smith. But at some point, if you're the coach, you got to say, this is not a consistent, you know, we're not getting consistent production from you. We're going to make a change here at shooting guard. We're going to give Shump an opportunity and see where that takes us. But because that's the only way to improve from within, you've got to be willing to be, I guess, you know, you've got to be willing to manage the games and say, if this guy's not getting it done, we got to put in another guy. But so I, everybody around the league will tell you, this team is screaming for a trade. They have to do something to not only improve with the product on the floor, but also improve what's going on in the locker room.
How bad is that locker room?
You know, Andy, it's hard to tell. You know, I mean, you win games. It was great over the weekend. You know, they won twice. They played twice. They won twice. It was great. You lose in any situation, it's not going to be good. And in Cleveland, particularly with LeBron James, it's going to be magnified times 100. Look, we talked about this probably before, but the Washington Wizards had a team meeting a couple days before the Cavs that spun out of control. They're almost fisticuffs in the locker room. We hear anything about it? No. So how much worse is the Cavs' locker room than other teams' locker rooms? Not much worse. Probably about the same. But you know what? LeBron James is on the team. So every day there's eight stories about it. So I don't think it's terrible, to answer your question, Andy. I think that it all depends on how well they're playing. If they're playing well, they're going to be, you know, positive, upbeat, friendly. Everybody's happy, joking around. If they're losing, it's going to seem pretty bad. And that locker room can get pretty bad when they're on, you know, skids like this.
All right, Sammy. Thank you very much. AmicoHoops.net. Right, you're the man. Thanks, Sam.
Thank you, Sam.
Thanks. Talk to you soon.
Right, we'll talk to you later. Sam Amico on the Mercedes-Benz of Bedford hotline. So we appreciate his time. If you missed any of the interview, make sure you check it out at 923thefan.com. All right, so Kevin Love expected to miss 6 to 8 weeks. It doesn't feel real good, but I got to tell you what Sam's saying that at the end, that it happens in every NBA locker room and it's just magnified because the Cavaliers are who they are. Kind of gives me a little bit of hope. It makes me feel a little better, as depressed as I was for the first hour and 20 minutes of the show.